right? It is 4:05. Thank you for hanging out with us. This is the IT&D presents the 10 Commandments of Networking. Before we get into the meat of our presentation, just real quick, we want to let you know, who the heck we are and why we're up here and who we're not. So to start things off, I'm Bob, the sales guy. This is Dave the Geek. That's what we put on our business cards. We were running IT&D as a group literally since 2001. It was set up as a meetup group just for information technology professionals. Reason why it was started.
This would look much better and much bigger on my screen on my laptop.
Yeah, nice eye chart. With that being said, I was going to chamber events, I was going to city events and networking events, and everyone was polluted with, we call them that guy, or people that would try to sell you stuff, or memberships, or chamber. And I said, can we just network without having to pay $20, without having to have people hound you? So we created a...
Can we just put that the easy way?
Yeah.
We hated every other network.
We did. Fine.
And so we decided to do it better.
Right. or as Galen say, we tried to make a group suck less.
Right.
So we had our first meetup, we gave it a fancy name, and away we went. Since then, we've amassed a network of about 7,500 members on our LinkedIn group. We have a website populated with probably 300 to 400 blogs that we've written over the years on tips and tricks, networking, job searching. We call them "Don't be that guy" and "How not to suck at." So it's kind of
a little bit of everything. I mean, so we've got the dating corollary, because whether you know it or not, dating, job search, your office job, relationships—they're all the same. Our website, our podcast. I don't know if anybody listens. Somebody has to, apparently, because people keep telling us they do. We do those on Monday nights out of our studios in Royal Oak. We get about 300 and some odd thousand listeners a week. We have CIOs, CTOs, and CEOs. We have roller derby girls, professional wrestlers, and guys who run improv shops. So,
but it's not if you think of an IT podcast, we're talking about what IT guys talk about at the bar, and we're interviewing cool people. It's not necessarily standing up a Linux environment, a cloud, whatever, enter the acronyms. It's not that.
Right. So then we had our networking group, and then that evolved into a podcast, and that then evolved because of the networking that we do and what we've done into a network, Podcast Detroit, where we have 5 studios. The cool thing about our events is that everything we do is free. We don't charge people to come to our events. So if you're going to a networking event that wants $20 at the door, you can go, but please slap it in the face and leave. Our running joke has been that just once we're going to do an event where we tell people it's $20 to show up, and then they show up and they give us $20, and then we go to the bar and we buy them a $20 gift certificate, and then we go back to them and hand it back to them and say, don't ever do that again.
So, at the end of the day, the two things I'm most proud of about this group, it started just an excuse for me and him to go have a drink together.
Sure.
And what happened was we in 08, 09, when the economy went down, we started a job fair called a Pink Slip Party. And we've been running them at least 2 a year since 2009. And about 2,500 people that we know of have found work through meeting someone at one of these events, whether it was a recruiter, a hiring manager, or just networked their way into a job. In the meanwhile, we've also had over 1,000 people get retrained on No Worker Left Behind grants to get entry-level IT jobs. And we're really proud to announce we're kicking it off June 3rd. We partnered with the state of Michigan, MEDC, Goodwill, and a few other organizations. We're launching our Career Academy in Flint, teaching basics of IT, and they're going to automatically land jobs and level one help desk gigs getting started in IT.
And keep in mind, it's not just teaching. It's different from a lot of programs that are out there. These people actually are going to get CompTIA certifications. So the actual certs that employers are looking for, so that's why we've got the recruiters on the back end just looking to funnel them through the pipeline and hire them.
And more importantly, let's tell you who we're not. We're not ninjas, we're not gurus, we're not life coaches.
No.
We're definitely not thought leaders, no. Tom Lawrence. We're definitely not a mastermind. We're not selling you anything. Like I said, we don't charge anything. There's no product afterwards. And we tell it like it is. We failed enough. This isn't us saying we know what we're doing. This is us saying we've tried and we've failed so many times that we decided to put it on paper. And lo and behold, the 10 commandments of networking. So we taught this course at MEDC for shifting gears, and we would always follow someone that spoke on using MySpace, like I'm talking 2015, saying it still, or like saying the most ridiculous things about resumes. So really, we started this off with you must unlearn that which you have learned. So just pay no attention.
Plus, we like Star Wars.
Right, that's it. So, I mean, this is the very crux of everything that we do, is learn the importance of networking. The biggest pet peeve we have, I don't even call it a pet peeve, but it's one of those things where you won't see anybody for 2 years. And the first thing out of our mouths is, all right.
Well, not that you won't see anybody, won't see a particular person.
Yeah. And we're like, all right, what do you need? It's like, well, I just lost my job yesterday. It's like, well, where have you been the last 2 years? Well, you know, life happens. Well, I get it that life happens too, but for me, I always go into networking not expecting a single thing. If I meet one amazing person I get to have a small friendship with, it's so worth it than walking around and leaving an event going, I have a shoebox full of business cards. This is amazing. But you never follow up with anybody. So to me, it's always, I just want to meet 3 or 4 people at an event, and hopefully one of them turns into something cool.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing we always tell people, and it doesn't matter if it's someone who shows up looking for a gig or one of the recruiters that shows up looking to hire people, if the day you're showing up is the day you need something, you're already 30, 60, 90 days too late. I mean, so the example I always use is, if I get some random cold call on my cell phone trying to sell me windows, click, don't care. If I go to Bob and I say, dude, you got a window guy, I need windows in my house, he gives me somebody, that's the person I'm calling and is going to get the job. That's the delta or the importance of networking right there.
And I mean, granted, we're IT focused, in whatever industry you're in, there is a meetup group for something that you like to do. Or if you just go to meetup.com.
Or if not, start one.
Or if not, start one. That was the whole reason we did. And everybody said, well, how do I get to do what you guys do, but for lawyers? Is there a group that exists? No. Start one. Bars love people going in there and spending money. This isn't rocket science. And some of the, we go to Royal Oak in Detroit. We find places that have a back room or separate area because IT people, for the most part, are introverts. And we wanted to create, I hate the word now, but a safe place for IT guys to know that they're in good company. So, I mean, again, if you want to start up, it's $60 a year to go on meetup.com and tell a bar you're showing up with 30 of your closest friends and they'll love you for it.
Oh, this is always one of my favorites and something we were just talking about. Commandment 2 is beware of false prophets. Find out which events suck before you go to them. I mean, and that's a really important thing. So make sure it matches up with what you're looking to do. Like us, we're an IT networking group. We're casual, we're laid back. All of our events and bars, we're not for everybody, and that's fine. If you're looking for like the old school IBM guys in 3-piece suits and ties and pocket squares and that kind of stuff, you're probably going to hate us.
And
that's totally okay. So, there's so many, there's so much stuff that's out there for free. Don't pay someone $40 to go to a class about LinkedIn. Don't pay someone $40 who's going to tell you that you're going to Twitter your way to success. Just don't. Pay attention to how many, tutorials and networking. Go to YouTube.
Or, flat out, just don't go to network after work. The bars don't charge anything to go, and someone that's charging $20 a head, they're pocketing that money for no other reason other than putting up a Facebook post on a website. There's no value in that other than
Well, and I guess let's be clear. So there are some people that works for. If you're into multi-level marketing, if you're into that kind of nonsense, cool. But that's why you should always do some homework before you show up at an event. Who's going to these events? Who's posting about these events? Who's actually going to be in the room? And the acid test that I've always said should be your last resort is if you weren't sure about an event and you went and you go anyway. And as soon as you get there, find the organizer. And if you can't find the organizer, leave. That's problem number one. Two, ask the organizer, all right, here's who I am. This is what I'm here for. Who do I talk to? If they can't turn in that room and point out at least 3 people to you that you should be talking to, you're at the wrong event. It's that simple, because that just tells you right then and there, they don't know anybody in the room, they don't care about anybody in the room, it's a cash grab.
And if you don't, if you walk in and it's not for you, leave. We've done that before. We went to a networking event and they did, okay, now we're going to do 60-second elevator pitches. Everybody stand up and we're out. We just didn't want to do what they
did. I was the third, so Bob came along with me to that one, and I was the third person. And the first two people went, and I was like, yeah, I'm Dave with IT and D, and yeah, we don't belong here, so we're going to go. We'll be at the bar that's across the parking lot, and if y'all want to talk later, we'll be there. Yeah.
So, I mean, this is easy, but it's, number one is me, because I always walk around with no cards. I'm a sales guy with no business cards. Figure that one out. But if you're, we do a lot of events, and there's a lot of people that are unemployed, and they don't have cards. It's really easy these days to go to Vistaprint and spend $10 and just put your name and your number and your email and what you do or what you're looking for.
Well, it doesn't even matter if you're unemployed. You should always have a card on you that is you. Not, your LinkedIn profile shouldn't be tied to your work email address. It should be tied to your email address, because if you lose that job, you lose that profile. That's a problem. So you should always have a card that's you and who you are and what you want to be doing, because you never know when you're going to run into somebody that's going to have your dream job. And go, yeah, here's my card. Let's talk.
And we always see that person that walks into our events with their Sunday best suit, their freshly shiny shoes, their booklets, their stack of resumes, and they're ready to get them. And it's just... people aren't going to remember, especially at job fairs, people walking out with 300
resumes. Is Depper.
Right. But they're not going to remember. 300 resumes are not going to remember. Again, it's a quality game. It's not a quantity game. So make sure you're handing out the cards properly. You're not just walking up with a business card going, here's Depper, how you doing? No, just wait until you get a little bit of a rapport. Is this someone I want to talk to? Him a card,
Yeah, and like Bob was just touching on, dressing appropriately for the venue, like I said, all of our events and bars, and to people asking, should I wear a tie? No, you don't need to wear a tie. If you're more comfortable in a tie, more power to you, great, do it. But by the same token, we've had micro mini leather skirt and fishnet show up. We've had dude in ripped Slayer shirt with no arms on it show up. We've had giant pink cowboy hat show up.
That was the worst.
But like we always say, how should you dress? All right, well, imagine you're in a bar, because, if you're at our event, you're going to be, and you hear someone at the table next to you talking about your dream job. Don't be wearing anything that's going to keep you from approaching them and talking about it.
And our biggest thing is always like an icebreaker, and everybody's like, hey, I'm Bob. What's question number two always? So what do you do? Right? It's become so cliche, but inevitable it's going to happen. Have a concise message. We'll talk about the elevator pitch in another slide, but always just say, I'm Bob, I'm in IT sales, right? Keep it, we have too many people that come to our events, of course we're in a room full of IT guys, but what do? I'm an IT guy. Great, everyone is. What do you do? Well, I do a little bit of everything. Great, what do you do? I dabble a little bit in Microsoft, I dabble a little bit in Linux. Great, what do you do? And it takes me 8 questions for him to say he's a back-end web developer, whatever the heck he is. He could have just set up a back-end web developer. And we would have, so, just,
well, it's like I've always said, recruiters are just as bad at that. What are you here for? I'm looking to hire IT people. Great, that's the entire room. What do you need? Developers? What kind? And if you say good ones, I'm going to hit you. So, yeah.
But, know your audience, right? I got smacked in the face, not literally, but personality-wise, where I sat with a banker, and I didn't know he was a banker, and I rattle off what I do, IT-wise. And he's like, well, you just speak English? And I'm like, oh, my God, I didn't know my audience. I didn't ask him what he, did. So I broke it in really, after that, I'll never do that again to anybody. So, again, know your audience and who you're talking to. They're not going to know your jargon. This is an important attitude for me. So I'm just speaking from experience in IT. There's two levels of anxiety. There's the guy that actually has social anxiety norms that it's very difficult for him to get in a public situation and sit around a group of people and actually meet them. For me, type A sales guy, I want to know how I can meet all of you right now. Who do I start with? I have just as much anxiety as that person walking in that room. That he goes, oh my God, I'm going to die.
The analogy we always use is you don't sit down at the bar, look at all of the pretty bottles and say, yes, that's a bad habit.
That was this weekend. so we always have some advice, especially if you have social anxiety norms. travel in pairs, find a buddy, get someone from work. So, hey, I'm going to this thing. You want to hang out with me? That way, the worst possible case scenario is you're stuck with that person you showed up with, which you couldn't be, you know, the worst thing is you leave the event and go somewhere else. So, I would say just try to travel in pairs if at all possible.
Well, and like I kind of mentioned earlier, you know, find the event organizers, which shouldn't be that hard to do. I hope not. You know, it's like I was saying, you know, our basic role at our events is traffic cop. You know, we figure out who's who, what's what, and then for the rest of the night, it's, oh, okay, you're looking for that? That's that person. Oh, you're looking for that? All right, that's that person. That's the organizer's role at those events, not sitting there with a cash box.
Right, and again, you know, like I said before about collecting business cards, you're not there to meet every single person in the room. Just relax. Like I said, I usually get, all of a sudden I get worked up and I start wanting to talk to him, and while I'm talking to him, I should be giving him all my attention. I'm looking at him going, I need to meet him next, and I'm not paying him any mind. So it's a big problem I have. I'm still working at, I guess, the craft of networking. But, you know, again.
Did you seriously just say the craft?
Yes, I said the craft. Stop talking.
Don't ever say that again.
Yes, I want the craft. I was going to say it now. This is the crux of our meeting. This is everything that this group was. You know, instead of telling people what to do, we just decided to say what not to do. Everything we've written was nameless, but if you read it, you know damn well it was you without us saying it was you.
Also, we have a rule of three. The first time we call you out anonymously. The second time we pull you aside and have a conversation. The third time we call you out publicly. We haven't had to make it to three yet.
So we've had everything you could possibly think of come through our doors, and we've tried to do our best at calling out each and every one. Whether somebody got way too inebriated, was inappropriate, I wrote it about myself, I'm not going to lie. Whether recruiters, where we had someone stalk a recruiter and show up at their place of employment unbeknownst, that's not a good thing to do. We've also had... arrogant IT guy, that's you. I think I've stuck that in
there. Arrogant.
But then, you know, we have other ones that are like the overbearing sales guy. Like, I'll introduce myself to someone, and the whole time he's like, blank stare, and he's like, oh yeah, well, I sell, you know, what do you, no, it's not why we're talking, you know, like, just enough, you know, like,
well, an MLM guy just fits into know the event that you're going to. We could not possibly be more clear that you need to be in it. We always say in and around the IT industry. Like, you don't have to be a hardcore developer to come to our events. You know, mostly because the recruiters that came to our events told us to lighten the hell up. And so, I mean, as long as you're a project manager, you know, a graphics person, you know, somebody who might be attached to an IT project somewhere along that life cycle and food chain, show up. Don't show up at our events trying to argue with us that because you sell Primerica, you should be allowed to come to our events and pitch to everybody that comes to our events.
That was half fun.
Dude, I don't even, it's been them too. So again, know your audience or know the demographic of where you're going. And here you go.
Yeah, this is a big one with me. When everyone talks about, since I've started my career in sales, everyone says you have to have an elevated pitch. And I think that's completely 100% absolute garbage. Because if I ever walked up to you, and the reason why I know this pitch is because I spent, when I started at Hewlett Packard, I spent an entire day memorizing my elevator pitch that I was going to meet people at networking events and say to the public. So I was going to walk up to someone and say, hi, my name is Bob. I'm with HP Broker. We're the networking division of Hewlett Packard. My products can give you a total cost of ownership while giving you a standards-based solution that can enable your data center to perform at higher speed. Well, when did you zone out, right? After, like, what, the fourth word? It's the word. And everyone does it. You're so passionate about what you do for a living. To you, it's amazing. Since I live and breathe this stuff all day, I'm immersed. And all I heard was Charlie Brown's teacher. It's a total junk. So what I basically got it down to, you know, I'm Bob, I'm in IT sales. How about you? And right, if they're in IT, oh, cool, I work for HP. You know, what do you do? I'm a virtualization guy. Oh, cool, I'm in the data center. What about you? And it becomes the 60-second elevator pitch that I once had becomes a series of 10 small little sayings that, you know, basically have, it's a conversation, and I'm not going too far, and I'm not wasting this person's time, and I'm not making them zone out and think what they gotta, you know, oh my God, do I have to buy milk tonight before I go home? You lost them. And and they're going to hate you for it. I'm not saying they're going to hate you, but you know what I mean. Just the elevator pitch is such a big deal in networking that I think a lot of people get it wrong. Keep it short, keep it sweet, and don't be that guy. Is that it?
On that one? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. This is so good.
This is a small little town, and I love telling this story. Here's the deal. I mean, there's no need to lie. There's no need to exaggerate. There's no need to try to embellish who you are and what you do.
Or price.
Yeah, if you're just getting started in IT, cool. You're just getting started in IT. It's no big deal. The best example that I have of this is I worked for a company called the Great Lakes Technologies Group back in the day, and one of the recruiters called me. And he was like, dude, you've got to come to my office and see this resume. And I was like, well, what do I need to come up there for? Like, you always just email it to me. He's like, no, I need to see your face when you see this resume. I was like, all right, I'm intrigued. I'm coming up. And I get there, and I'm looking at this guy's resume, and he's basically got on his resume the project that I am the systems architect and project manager for, along with some fuzzy details, some of which are wrong. But I have no idea who this person is. Sweet. So the recruiter, he's like, we're going to call him, right? I'm like, yeah, let's call him up. Let's go downstairs in my office and call him up. So we call the guy, get him on speed dial. And I'm like, hey, I played it off, and we answered the phone. So hey, this is, who I am. I say, it's Dave. Got a hold of your resume. I said, I really want you to tell me about this project that you've got going on. Sounds really cool. And so he proceeds to babble and babble and babble, and again, details are wrong. And I got annoyed, and so I cut him off, and I just said, hey, look, here's the deal. I said, that's actually my project. Like, I am both the systems architect and the project manager, and I have no idea who you are. So would you like to take a step back? And he gets, dead quiet for a second. And he says, well, do you know Jack, last name? I said, yeah, it's all my tech lead. It's fine. He says, oh, well, I'm doing some of Jack's work for him from home. Really? Hold on a sec. Put him on hold. Roll my chair out. Hey, Jack, come here. Jack comes down. I said, hey, here's the deal. This is what we're doing. This guy that I got on the phone says he's doing your work from home. And he, gets all this. I'm like, no. I know it's not true. We're good there. I'm like, I just want to know if you know this guy. And he's looking at me, I got nothing. He's like, I don't know what this guy is. I'm like, all right, take him back up hold. I said, and how dumb is he that he's still holding? Anyway, so I take him off hold. And I said, hey, so here's the deal. I've got Jack here in my office, and he has no idea who the hell you are either. And he starts stammering and babbling and floundering. And also, a light bulb goes off in Jack's head. I'm like, hey, hold on a sec. I'll put him on hold. Apparently, this idiot ran into one of my tech leads at a bar 4 days earlier. Got to talking about what Jack was working on. Thought it sounded really cool. And went ahead and put it on his resume. And then had the dumb luck to send it in to the company that was actually building it. And lined up on my desk. Needless to say, that story got told far and wide. And the last I heard of him, he had moved to Kentucky and gotten out of IT entirely. That's how that works.
But the thing with the stories is they happen all the time. I'm not going to go as long as he was, but a guy came up to me screaming that I got the best data center in town. We had 100% uptime. I just laughed at him. Well, you've got to come over here and hear this. If you know anything about data centers, there's no such thing as one that has. Well, there is if they're only open for an hour. Most of them have downtime. All of them have downtime. Doesn't matter how good they are. And I said, you can't have 100% of them. It's what we do. And again, this guy is out of the industry because the word gets out. If you lie to people, it's just bad. And I don't, even embellishing, even if it's just a small little lie, is going to get you in a world of trouble.
This is one of my favorites. This is one of the first blogs I ever wrote for our site called LinkedIn is Not a Video Game. There are no points for the number of connections you have. There is no such thing as a high score. It doesn't matter. And the reason why I wrote this is because there's a guy that we know who I called up one day and I said, hey man, I need to hire a Cisco guy yesterday. I see you've got 30 in your network. Give me 4 and I'll interview him and we'll have somebody hired by the end of the week. And he said, what? I knew an aneurysm was coming, but I asked, dude, I see you've got like a bunch of Cisco guys in your network. I need to hire one. Give me a couple you would recommend, and I'll hire them this week. I don't know. They're just connections. It says right on there, when you try to add a connection, only add people that you know well and that you know well. Because that's what networking is. That's how that works. There's been study after study that says you only have time in your life for roughly, at the outside, 700 people, and that's properly tiered. Like, the only time you will ever hear us talk about a pyramid is right now. Like, you have, like, a baseline pyramid, then a couple levels up after that. You have all those casual acquaintances that you know at the bottom, like people that, like, you worked with 4 or 5 years ago, whatever, and you recognize by sight, sort of. Then you've got, you know, the next tier up where, you know, it's your coworkers and people that you know and your friends that you hang out with all the time. And then you've got, like, the next tier up, the people that, like, you would invite to your bachelor or bachelorette party, you know, that you've really close, you've got some common shared secrets with, and, you know, that kind of thing. And then that top tier, like, where Bob and I are for each other, is who you would call at 3 a.m. when you need bail. Like, you're really tight, close friends. And what people don't know or don't judge properly is where you are in someone else's hierarchy of a network has no bearing on where they are in yours. Like, when you lose your job, every recruiter you know is the most important connection you have. That doesn't mean that they even remember who you are.
Well, I just lived through that. Yeah. For the first time in my, for the last, 16 years, I was laid off from Cisco Systems. They gave me 4 months, so I, didn't really think much of it. But I remembered back in the day where all my friends from when I worked at HP, when I worked at Dell, when they got laid off, and they shot me a LinkedIn note, and I always made time. Even if it was just, hey, call this guy or call this gal. I always made time. So, when it came my time, I didn't always get that reciprocation. And I wasn't upset about it because I get it.
But you'll remember.
But I'll remember, right. Remember that one time?
And then.
But like I said, if anyone ever comes to me and asks me anything, I'll always try to make time because, again, I never know when it's my turn. And, I don't do it to expect anything. I'm hoping it's all for sake of karma. I kind of live my life by that way. So, hey, if someone asks me, I can do some good, great. Maybe 8 years down the road, I might need something, and then it comes back.
Shall understand social media. It's important. In case you can't read it, this is somebody who did a nice explanation that says Twitter is I'm eating a hashtag donut. Facebook, I like donuts. Foursquare, this is where I eat donuts, blah, 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 blah. The analogy we've always used is that Facebook, well, let's start with LinkedIn. LinkedIn is my office online. If it wouldn't be weird for you to call me up and say, hey, I want to swing by the office, let's do lunch, yes, we should be LinkedIn connections. Facebook is my living room. If it wouldn't be weird, and I always feel the need to qualify this, if I wouldn't think it's weird for you to call me out and go, hey, I'm on my way, let's hang out in your living room, yes, we should be Facebook friends. Twitter is the Game of Thrones of the internet. There's 140 characters. We have no idea what the hell's going on. And thank God Google Plus died.
Is it
that we always laughed? It was the gym membership of the internet, or the gym, like everybody rushed to join and then nobody actually went.
But the biggest thing we always see is, and I don't think they're doing it enough, or they're doing it any more than they used to. We called it Twittering yourself, which was basically putting one post on something and then blasting it across all mediums. Because typically throughout the day I'll check social a couple times. And if I see the same post from you across your LinkedIn, across your Facebook, across your Twitter, across your Instagram, it becomes just, you did yourself a disservice, right? So tier your post appropriately. Rarely do I post IT and E stuff on my personal Facebook, but I'll be damned if I don't post about it on our actual pages where you're supposed to.
Well, and not only that, but so the reason why we wrote Stop Twitting Yourself is because actually a friend of ours, who I had to call because he was going on a expletive-laden rant on Twitter about a certain political figure, and he had linked his Twitter and LinkedIn accounts. And so his LinkedIn feed was becoming all of his expletive, because that's where I saw it, all of his expletive-laden rants about a particular bit.
And I know this isn't about social media, and there's a weird hierarchy with all the socials. It's like Facebook, you can post maybe a couple times a day, you're okay. LinkedIn, you should maybe post a couple times a week. Twitter, you can post 37,000 times a day. But I went into events where I ran into a guy who, he's my LinkedIn feed. Like, all of it. He posts it 37 times a day. And the first thing I said is, I'm like, oh my God, you're my LinkedIn feed. Knock it off. Like, you know, I didn't want to connect you. But it becomes, there's this annoyance factor that comes with social. You know, and it's weird how each one has their own hierarchy. But like I said, keep LinkedIn posts to a couple, maybe three times a week at most.
Thou shalt follow up.
You're not mad about this. We met Rob. Or Rob Steiner was at Comic Con this weekend. He was a jerk. Now I want to take the slide off.
Honestly, it doesn't matter how many events you go to. It doesn't matter how many people you meet. It doesn't matter how many cards you gather and go home and sort through. If you never follow up, you know, that's why we tell people, you know, if you come to our events, bring cards, have that follow up conversation. You know, yeah, does it make sense? Like, let's connect on LinkedIn. Let's go for a coffee. Let's, you know, you have to have that next step, or it's an avoid.
You look at what just happened to me. I got a LinkedIn request while we were sitting waiting for this, and it was someone that I met at a conference, and we had a casual conversation. Then it's someone I ran into Comic-Con, and I couldn't figure out who the heck it was, because you don't put those two together, right? IT conference, Comic-Con. I just got a LinkedIn request from him. It's like the CISO from GM. It's like, I should have paid more attention to this guy. Well, like I said, he followed up with me. But that's the whole point, is like following up and setting, when you go to LinkedIn, there's a don't do it on mobile to connect with people. Do it on your computer, and I'll tell you exactly why. Mobile will not let you send a note to say, hey, I just want to connect with you on LinkedIn. It's generic. Unless you've met them and they can recognize you right away, don't do that. If you do it on PC, send a quick note and say why you want to connect. Like, hey, we met at Comic-Con. Really like to have a cup of coffee with you sometime, or at least at the worst, be in your network. Right? That way there's a little bit of personalization to it, especially if you want someone to connect with you on LinkedIn.
The biggest one, and this is where networking 101, to help regardless of reciprocation. It's not about you. You know, and we have another version of this that's the 10 Commandments of Job Search, where we tell people, you know, you're going to get much more response and much more positivity if you walk into an event and have a conversation with somebody that are like, well, what problems, you know, what problems do you have? And then listen, oh, well, here's how I would solve those problems, or here's how I would tackle that. Instead of just saying, I'm getting a job. That's how that's supposed to work.
It's the same when we talk about the dating corollary. It's no different than being single and being at the end of the bar going, I need to meet somebody. It just doesn't work. And we see too many people that come to these networking events where just relax. I don't need a job right now, but I need to meet 10 people that can help me. I mean, so it's all about just taking a step back and just reassessing, you know, why you're there.
Oh, and remembering karma. I know Bob lightly touched on this. This is one of my favorite stories of anything that's ever happened to me because of this group. I was driving to work. I was running late. I wasn't paying attention. And I always thought, like, if you saw a cop with somebody pulled over on the side of the road, you were supposed to pull over if you could, like, get over a lane. Apparently, it's not supposed to. It's you will. Because I went blowing by them, and the second cop that was at the stop, like, pulled up behind me and pulled me over and was really, really angry. And so, you know, I got the license registration. He's gone for 10 minutes. I'm like, screw. And I'm sending a text the first time. I'm like, hey, I'm sorry. I'm going to be meeting for later for that meeting. Cop comes back up, and it gives me a second to look at it. And I have my license, I have my registration, I have my proof of insurance. I don't have a ticket. And because I'm a moron, I asked about this. I said, sir, are we done here? And he looks at me and he says, yeah, Mr. Phillips, we're done here. He's like, I'm sure you're on your way to some, like, you know, important networking event or job thing or blah, 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 blah. And, like, I felt a little snap in my head. Sir, I'm sorry, what? He's like, yeah, Mr. Phillips, I know who you are. He's like, I've seen you on Fox 2 before. You know, my brother-in-law was just at one of your Pink Slip Party events, got a great job, landed it, so, you know, I know you're doing good stuff. I'm just telling you right now, when you see an officer in that situation in the future, you pull the hell over. Have a nice day. Goes back to his car. I have an aneurysm. I immediately call him. So that's the thing, like, you never know.
Well, you look at what happened to us this weekend. We met a guy at the bar the night before, and we were talking Star Wars, because that's what you do at Comic-Cons, we're geeks. And we invite the guy to podcast with us, so we had a booth at Comic-Con. And the guy's like, I've never podcasted before, and it was the most amazing experience ever. Do you want to know why?
And I'm like, well, and yeah, because when he came back the next day.
Yeah. And he basically said, he goes, my brother died a year ago, and you were his favorite podcast. And the fact that I got a chance to sit with you guys and talk for Star Wars for an hour and a half is probably the coolest thing ever. And I just called his widow's wife and told her, and she like started bawling. And I'm like, I didn't feel like Debbie Downer. I just thought, how freaking cool is that you can touch someone in such a way where like this guy that was like his greatest moment to sit and talk Star Wars with for an hour, and he was just some guy we met. But for him, it was so much more.
Well, and the one I always love is, you know, we were getting ready for one of our events. It was like maybe, I don't know, 4:30 in the afternoon, like a half an hour before we started. Some guy walks in and went to the usual, hey, you know, what brings you out? What can we do for you? He's like, no, chill, you're cool. I was like, all right, what's up? He's like, well, I was at your insula party event last month. So I'm just coming to this. I'll tell you why I'm here. He said, I'm just leaving the recruiter's office that I met that night. I just signed for a new job, making more money than I've ever made before in my life. I've been out of work for 9 months. You probably just saved my marriage. I know you saved my house, possibly my car. I just wanted to stop by, buy you a beer, and shake your hand and say thanks. It knocked me over with a feather at that point. Like, that's really, really cool shit.
But I mean, at the end of the day, this is these are the notes that we jotted down over the course of the years, the stories and all that. That's kind of the end of our content, but I kind of want to open up the floor. Like I said, the biggest question I always get is, how do I start this in my industry? We can get into that, or if anybody has another question. Oh my God. Oh yeah, next events. So we run the first Tuesdays of every month in Ann Arbor, and the third Thursdays of every month we're either in Royal Oak or downtown Detroit at Nancy Whiskey. Try to do something for everyone. So if you go to itlady.com and click the Meet tab, it's M-E-E-T, not M-E-A-T.
Because we're about to be lying to me for 2 years, we still don't have custom branded meat sticks.
I know, that's next. But there's two meetups a month. It's in the IT industry. Other than that, I would consider checking out Meetup and seeing what's in your industry or where you can go. But with that, we'll open up.
Now I think that's it.
Now fine. But if anybody's got any questions, it's open forum. Yeah?
So I think in one of your slides, you guys kind of emphasized when you're introducing yourself, you feel like less than 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So how do you create like an impression of somebody in less than 10 seconds?
It's no. You're not creating an impression in 10 seconds. Well, the impression you're creating is that you're not an annoying waste of time. So, I mean, it's not, you know, that entire conversation shouldn't last 10 seconds. It's, you know, hey, I'm Dave, I'm in IT, what do you do? All right, well, if they're in IT, cool. All right, well, what do you get? All right, now. And then if there's an interest in continuing, like, hey, yeah, you know, I do systems architecture, da da da. Oh, yeah, you know, cool. Yeah, you know, I was, you know, built an app that I would have been working on. So it's that series of conversations, those what, mini conversations, as opposed to the, well, here's what I do, and da 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 da.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the first impression is always, it's the eye contact, it's the handshake, it's the I'm genuinely wanting to meet you, not you, because I don't like you. but no, it's just that, you know, that in fact, you know, everyone's got their own personality, and sometimes people are nonchalant, like, hey, how you doing? But at least I was, like, show you have interest in the person, not like what I was saying earlier with, hey, Tom, oh, who's this guy over here? Like, then I look like I'm not interested, you know what I mean? There's a genuine interest in how you introduce yourself to somebody.
Let's just talk about how not to introduce yourself.
Like
Tom from Mark Tennyson.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
No, go ahead.
No. You know what? He likes to make fun of me because I say it, but there's a couple guys that you guys know that always introduce themselves and they introduce their company name with their name every single time to try and create memory.
If you were Bob Waldenspiel of Waldenspiel Systems, and you would say, Bob Waldenspiel Systems. Systems. And over the course of the entire conversation, he kept doing that because we know people who do this. That's a bad impression. Those are people you want to strangle.
And of course, the guy that asked the question is Tom Lawrence with Lawrence Systems. Yeah.
What do you do when you're going to say if maybe you've already got a job and you're at a networking event and you meet people, okay, I want to keep in touch with this person, but maybe they're really somebody you're going to need to keep in touch with for the next couple of years?
So,
you,
yeah, so. It's, you know, ask them for a cup of coffee. It depends.
Oh, that's every month. You can meet him for a drink.
Yeah, no, but I mean, there's a few people I invite for coffee. Hey, you know, let me get in your calendar something. Coffee. Again, it's kind of like a loose friend thing. If you know that they're closely around your business, you want to keep them around.
Just a couple months. You know, and then we know people that do this. Every, you know, we'll see like people that will show up at our events, like in sync every couple months. And it's because they go, hey, you know what? I team that either got a thing this Thursday morning. Yeah, cool, you look good.
Or like, hey, there's an event, throw an event. Or hey, we met at this last event. Hey, you might like this. I'm going to be there. You know, don't hesitate. You know, it depends on what you do for a living. If you can, I'm a sales outside sales, so I can duck off for coffee anytime I want. But it really depends on what you do for a living, you know. But I mean, yeah, don't hesitate. Or even reach out, email. But hey, we met at this event. Just wanted to keep in touch. Everything going, you know, yeah, it's a bit. I was never not wanting anything, right? I'm going to have coffee with a guy tomorrow morning and I don't want anything. But I do. But I don't. But I won't tell him. You know what I mean? It's one of those, you want to see if there's something there and then try to give him, bring him value, right? That's really what it's about. Go ahead.
Let's get together for coffee or something. Go, yeah,
yeah, or like, no. Yeah, no. I wouldn't know how to write in cursive right now if you paid me. Go ahead. Talking about, hey, if I invite someone for coffee after a networking event, how do I know if we have similar interests, or how do I know? Get that out of the way at the networking event. So all of a sudden, if you get there and this person's way out in left field, you're way out in right field, like, you can talk about small talk and talk about weather, but when you walk out of the meeting, like, oh my God, why don't we just do that?
Well, you know, because yeah, the networking event should be where you have that quick like establishment of whether or not there's mutual interest at all in a further conversation. And so if nothing else, that coffee after the fact should be, that's your starting point. And then if further, great. If not, coffee.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, being in IT, if a guy comes up to me and says he's an investment broker, you know, where am I talking? We're not talking unless I might need one. Then I might talk to him to see if I like, you know, or you know what I mean? It's one of those things where, you know, but if it's, you know, this guy, I don't know if I want to talk about him, you know what I mean? But, you know,
he's probably going to record it without our knowledge.
No, but just get that out of the way at the networking event before you get that far. Anybody else? Yes?
You talked a lot about finding relationships that are mutually beneficial.
Sure.
But what if you're at an event and you meet someone that you think, you know, left field, right field, but they don't see the same way? Is there a polite way in that situation to maybe address them if they ask you for a coffee, but you really see them as, again, like a situation that you might not want to be part of?
See, again, this whole process is so like dating and nobody even understands.
Right.
No, it's not you, it's, no, it's you. It's not. No, I mean, that's as simple as, you know what, I really would like, hey, you want to meet for coffee? Okay, well, why? What would you want to, like, what are we going to talk about? Like, to the best of my recollection from our conversation, I don't know that we have all that much common ground. What did you see that we should be talking about? And if they've got a good answer, maybe.
Something, yeah, I mean, you think with us running this group, we get asked a lot, you know, to come, hey, and for some reason I got on a list, or someone, I've been getting reached out to a half a dozen times the last 2 weeks, I want to get into IT sales, and I would love a mentor.
That's my fault, I keep sending people.
See, yeah, I knew it was you. I try to do as much in emails as I possibly can, and then I say, hey, I'm going to be at this event, let's hang out, and then that way it's kind of a, you know, casual meeting, right? I'm going to be at the event anyway. So maybe even for you, like, hey, I'm going to be at the next event. Why don't we talk more on that? Right? And then there's nothing going on. And you know what I mean? That way, you weren't impolite, but at the same token, you completely blew them off, which is what you wanted to do anyway.
Well, and you also have that out. Yeah. No, it's true. And you also have that out. Like, if you've got, like, five or six people that you arrange to have conversations with at a given event, and one of them is just annoying, you have the built-in out of, hey, you know what? I hate to cut this short, but there's somebody else that I'm really going to go have a conversation with. You know, I got to run.
Me. Hey, look, give it a try. I'm leaving.
Yeah, I should have got out of this.
Right.
Sir.
Do you have pamphlets? No.
Internet pamphlets?
No. Yeah, this is all online. Well, I mean, we can start over. but again, this is all online on our site. You go to itmini.com, just search 10 Commandments. It's all there.
You said IT.
ITinTheD.com. Yes, is our site.
Sir.
When your network extends out of the state, don't it make sense to just continue to email the person?
Yes.
I'll get that. So when I worked at Hewlett Packard, I ran Ohio. I was a sales manager for Ohio Valley. I had 16 peers in the country, and we were very close because we were the ones bouncing ideas off each other. I've stayed in contact with every single one of them in one way, shape, or form. You know, and then once in a great while, like, hey, I'm in Dallas. Hey, do you want to hang out tonight? I've had drinks, but I've mostly kept up with them on either Facebook or LinkedIn. Most of the time, it's like liking their kids' pictures and saying, how you been? Right? It really doesn't have to go any farther than that. But they know that, you know, you haven't gone too far. Does that make sense?
Go.
True Rob Schneider story.
So, hypothetically speaking,
the ending of my column is way better, but I won't tell it here. I'll tell you.
We'll be at Temple Bar after you can hear that one.
No, here's the thing with Comic-Con. People, like, if you're famous and you're signing, like Shatner was the same way as Schneider was, people walk by and snap a picture, like, I saw Rob Schneider, right? Or, like, Jeremiah will come with me in line and say, I just want to shake his hand while you buy an autograph. So Schneider was just really hell-bent on not letting people take pictures and or come in line if you weren't buying anything. So he was treating the volunteers just horribly, and they had to switch like 3 volunteers on him. So I was all geeked to get a sound drop.
One day.
I wanted him to do the "You Can Do It" listen to that TV show and a sound drop, and I'm, oh my god, it's, you know. And I'm like, yeah, I give him my money. You know, when you treat volunteers poorly, it's like, come on, you know, you
get to. Yeah, we don't. I don't judge you by how you treat the CTO. I judge you by how you treat the receptionist.
But definitely meet me down here later for the Anthony Michael Hall Star Wars program.
Anybody else? Good. All right.
Yeah, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank